Chapter 16. The Beliefs of Wicca. We have come a long way in our study of Wicca and other witchcraft, which has spread all around the world, and the only protection from it is for Christians through the power of our reliance on Jesus. As we have journeyed through time, we realize witchcraft is nothing new, since it, and other occult practices, began around the time of the Tower of Babel in Babylon, which was a couple hundred years after Noah and his family stepped off the boat after that worldwide flood. From there, when God's judgment confused the language, witchcraft spread to Egypt, Greece, Rome, Asia, India, and the nearby island countries, Africa, Latin America, and Europe. Europe is where witchcraft got renamed and repackaged to the present version called Wicca. And that is what we have to deal with in our world today. But it's just old-fashioned witchcraft. Wicca started in Europe with the grandmother of Wicca, Margaret Murray. Then it progressed through Gerald Gardner, the grandfather of Wicca, Doreen Balliente, the mother of Wicca, Raymond Buckland, the father of American Wicca on the East Coast, and then Sybil Leek on the West Coast, who was the celebrity of Wicca, helping to popularize witchcraft in America. Leek was in Los Angeles, where she mixed and mingled with celebrities involved with movies, media, music, and politics. That method of spreading witchcraft is still being used today. Then we saw Wicca advance through Alexander Sanders, the so-called king of the witches, and a woman who is still alive today, at over 80 years of age. That woman, Lori Cabot, continues promoting witchcraft as the official witch of Salem. Unfortunately, she is still involved politically, getting restraints removed so that Wicca witchcraft can be more and more accepted across the United States. In the last chapter, we looked at Dianic Wicca, which is synonymous with feminism. We traced the trail of the feminist movement straight back to witchcraft. The founder and most prominent witch of Dianic Wicca is Zsuzsanna Budapest, Z. Budapest. Most Wiccan witches worship the mother goddess, as well as the male horn god. Contrary to that Wicca norm, Dianic Wiccans only worship the feminine deity. Their beliefs and practices are all about getting rid of any male influence in our world. Budapest has promoted that through all kinds of books, media, and other dissemination channels. Like Lori Cabot, Budapest is also still alive today and, unfortunately, continues to advance witchcraft in our society. As we learn, the push toward a feminine deity, mother goddess worship, and away from worship of our male patriarchal god, fits exactly with the Bible's description of what the earth will be like in the last days, in Revelation 17. A lot of people on our planet are already lined up to accept a global goddess. Catholicism already worships Mary, and Eastern religions worship many goddesses. There are also feminine deities in modern-day movements like New Age and environmentalism with their worship of Mother Earth, or Gaia. Even the European Union is getting in on it, and that is where many believe the Antichrist comes from, through a revived Roman Empire. In fact, as another example of biblical prophecy coming to life in our time, the European Union has already chosen their symbol of a woman, the harlot, riding a bull, the beast. They put that biblically evil entity on their statues, coins, and even a magazine. It's almost like someone is following a script, which they are, and it is that which God told us about long, long ago. With a widespread increase in witchcraft, it is now even being promoted in our apostate Christian churches today. So-called Christians are wanting to castrate Christianity, which means getting rid of our male savior. That is from their words, and it makes them another group, who will be ripe to fall for that lie involving the harlot. All that has led to our secular media calling this time of mankind, the season of the witch. Notice it's not the season of the Christian, God's truth, or a Christian revival. Instead, this is said to be the season of witchcraft. It is taking over our country, as some Christians wonder why we are even doing this witchcraft study. That brings us to this chapter's information, which is about Wiccan witchcraft's beliefs and the practices. Before we get into that, let's see if somehow, some way, maybe through much fasting and many prayer conferences, with food included, we can come up with at least one more verse in the Bible that warns us against witchcraft. Do you think that is possible? Well, of course it is, and you knew that because you know warnings against witchcraft and other occult practice are all over the Bible, just like my sarcasm permeates this book. I want to give you one more in the long list of passages where the Lord lets us know not to get near witchcraft. The first 10 verses of Jeremiah 27 are what we'll read this time, and it relates to the last chapter's passage with God telling us why Israel's 10 northern tribes and 2 southern ones, Judah and Benjamin, are sent into exile by judgment from God. Why did they lose their nations? We clearly saw they were practicing witchcraft, sorcery, and divination. They tried blending those occult practices into their so-called worship with God. And now we are going to see what was happening during the Babylonian reign of Nebuchadnezzar, who later gets judged by God because our Creator always has the last word. Whoever gets out of line from our Lord's wishes has a day of reckoning to follow. But before Nebuchadnezzar's fall, we're going to see how God uses him and has a word for the secular nations surrounding Jerusalem, telling them that he has installed Nebuchadnezzar to rule at that time over those secular nations that surround Jerusalem, just like God had Nebuchadnezzar spank Israel and Judah for their disobedience in getting involved with witchcraft. So, in Jeremiah, God is addressing those secular nations, telling them they need to listen to this Nebuchadnezzar guy and stop those who are lying to them. And can you guess what practice the liars are deeply into? Of course, it's witchcraft. That's the context, so now let's take a look at God's word.
Jeremiah 27:1-10. Early in the reign of Zedekiah son of Josiah king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. This is what the Lord said to me, make a yoke out of straps and crossbars and put it on your neck. Then send word to the kings of Edom, Moab, Ammon, Tyre and Sidon through the envoys who have come to Jerusalem to Zedekiah king of Judah. Give them a message for their masters and say, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says, tell this to your masters, with my great power and outstretched arm I made the earth and its people and the animals that are on it, and I give it to anyone I please. Now I will give all your countries into the hands of my servant Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon. I will make even the wild animals subject to him. All nations will serve him and his son and his grandson until the time for his land comes, then many nations and great kings will subjugate him. If, however, any nation or kingdom will not serve Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon, or bow its neck under his yoke, I will punish that nation with the sword, famine and plague, declares the Lord, until I destroy it by his hand. So do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your interpreters of dreams, your mediums or your sorcerers who tell you, you will not serve the king of Babylon. They prophesy lies to you that will only serve to remove you far from your lands, I will banish you and you will perish.
So, even the secular countries sent into exile had that happen because they got involved with witchcraft. Like the 12 tribes of God's people, he also warns those Gentiles that they better follow his directive and not get into occult witchcraft behavior. They too were being duped by lying witches, which is the nature of witches, who follow their lying father, the father of lies, Satan. And that's why God, even way back in Deuteronomy, also warns those people not to follow the ways of witchcraft because it is demonic, and demons are liars. God does not want anyone led astray, and so he is even warning these secular people not to listen to those involved in witchcraft. God tells them to follow the path he's laying out, and if they do so they will be fine. But if they listen to these lying witches, who have been advocating the exact opposite, it will lead to their destruction. Having heard that extensive warning for those thousands of years ago, do you think God would have the same warning today for those who listen to witchcraft with its divination and sorcery that promotes the exact opposite of what God says? Do you think today's defiance of God will not hurt our well-being? Or will it lead to destruction as it always has? Of course, the outcome for the modern-day witches will be the same. God will be consistent in his judgment of them, and that is what we are going to see as we get into the details surrounding the beliefs and practices of Wicca witchcraft. Wiccans believe and do the opposite of what God tells us life is all about, who he is, and how we are supposed to live our lives. The first aspect of Wiccan beliefs for us to understand is that it's kind of hard to codify a particular core of Wicca because it's an eclectic belief system, which means that truth is left up to each individual to decide for themselves. As we have seen in other witchcraft and so many other faith systems outside of Christianity and the Bible, Wiccans are encouraged to make up their own reality, as if our Creator would allow us to change his creation. With their deluded feelings of control over reality, it's hard to get a true consensus that can be said to represent an overall description of Wiccan beliefs. As evangelical Christians, you and I have one source of truth, which is the Bible. We can all profess our belief in the virgin birth, the deity and humanity of Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. We all believe in sola scriptura that says the Bible alone is our authority for faith and practice. That is what makes Christianity solid, while Wicca has no such rock of truth, so they are allowed many possible beliefs to choose from. What I am going to do in this chapter is give you prevailing beliefs that most Wiccans would say are core to their beliefs. I say it that way because the moment you start trying to pin Wiccans down to certain beliefs, invariably, some coven will say it's not what they follow. So, that's the challenge in attempting to define the eclectic path of Wicca that is based on relativism, which means whatever you believe is true to you, whatever I believe is true to me, and there is supposedly no problem with your truth contradicting mine. And that is really how they derive their witchcraft and occult practices, as well as the belief we're going to talk about next. Wicca's relativistic and eclectic mentality started back in Genesis 3, when Satan tempted Eve with a couple of lies. The devil placed doubt in Eve's mind about God's word by posing the question of whether God really said what he said. Then he got her thinking about how good the fruit looked with its pleasing appearance. Unfortunately, her flesh stoked her pride for life, the feeling that her life should be all about what she would like. Then Satan dropped another bomb on her by advising Eve not to follow what she thinks God might have said and just do what Satan tells her. Lucifer wanted her to become a rebel like him against God. He convinced her of that by claiming she too could be like God, deciding whether something is either good or evil. From that one biblical event thousands of years ago through the writing of Genesis 3, relativism began and has become a way of life for billions today, including Wiccans. When you see people living that philosophy in our time, they are following the same false path that caused the fall of man. Again, that mindset is the basis of Wiccan witchcraft. They make it up as they go. So, let us talk generally, even though beliefs are inconsistently scattered throughout practicing Wiccans. Wiccans don't view their religion as necessarily a reversal of, or reaction to, Christianity. And they are certainly not, as many Wiccans claim, a pre-Christian practice. We blew that one out of the water early in this book. As we saw at the beginning of our look at witchcraft history, it began with all other occult practices at the Tower of Babel, which was way after the first Christian history laid out in Genesis. Pagan occult witchcraft began a couple hundred years after Noah's flood, after which wicked Babylon's sewage pipe of evil spread out to the world and gives us the witchcraft we have today. So, the biblical account starts way before Wicca or any other witchcraft. Try as they might, their claim of being older than Christianity is bankrupt, but it is a widespread Wiccan belief.
Contemporary witchcraft is so diverse and eclectic that it is extremely difficult to accurately identify and define. In fact, it is almost impossible to state that all witches believe this or that. No sooner will this be uttered than someone will speak up and assert that they are a witch and do not believe what you just stated. There are, however, commonalities shared by most who appropriate the word witch for themselves.
Most Wiccans believe in what is called the creed of no creed, which is the idea that we can derive truth through experience. For determining what they hold as truth, experience is everything to Wiccans. Their creed of no creed is that they follow no dogma. Instead, it's all about what their experience tells them to do or how to feel. Experience rules the day, as their guide on the path to all truth. Hey, wait a minute, do we know any group in the church that does the same? Yes, and it rhymes with charismatics. Yet we wonder why they are starting to slide straight into witchcraft. As we saw in our huge, detailed study called Charismatic Chaos, the charismatics' whole basis of operation is exactly the same as witchcraft. Truth supposedly comes from each individual's life experience. In fact, just like charismatics, witchcraft advocates followers getting into an altered state of consciousness to have a mystical experience, or supposedly create a oneness with everything. Charismatics even rely on their experience over God's word in the Bible. In fact, they say the Bible is dogma and they supposedly do not need to follow its truth because they will just let the Spirit of God lead them through their experiences. Whether that spirit is really from God or demonic does not enter their equation. That process is the same with witchcraft. And since we have extensively studied both, it is apparent that their belief systems perfectly merge. And that belief by Wiccans, that life is all about experience, leads to a second belief they adhere to, which is supposedly tolerance. Hey, tolerance is a prominent buzz phrase for these days, right? But the definition has been thrown into confusion these days. Literal tolerance, or historical tolerance, is what you and I understand as putting up with a belief system that we do not necessarily agree with. But today's new definition of tolerance tells us that we are intolerant if we do not accept and even heartily promote everyone's belief system. We must profess that all belief systems are equally valid and admirable as our own. So, when you see or hear tolerance talked about through the media and in our school system today, that new definition is what they mean. You and I think we should be fine to put up with others' aberrant beliefs and practices. It is what we have always heard, love the sinner and hate the sin. But today, that is one of the most bigoted statements we can make because they tell us that means we are not accepting and endorsing everyone's choice of beliefs and lifestyle. But that is ridiculous, and it is the core of Wicca and all other witchcraft. Their idea is that everyone can just make their own reality and all others need to accept whatever anyone claims because anything goes for everyone, no matter your background and preferences, including sexuality. It's come one, come all. Just make it up as you go. Here is more about how witches at least say they are tolerant.
Tolerance is another highly touted value among witches. Diversity of belief and practice is viewed as not only healthy but essential to the survival of humanity and planet Earth, and to spiritual growth and maturation as well. Independence, autonomy, and the freedom to experience, believe, think, and act as one desires are defended as if they were divine rights.
So, tolerance is a core Wiccan belief just as experience is. They say, you have no right to tell me what to do. I can do, believe, practice, and have whatever I want. You cannot say I can. But just like the others in our society who are hypocrites for promoting tolerance, and then not following their own principle, when it comes to tolerance of those who don't agree with them, witches do the same. Those touting this new definition of tolerance today, including witches, do not even follow it themselves.
Witches do become intolerant, however, when they perceive intolerance and authoritarianism in other individuals and faiths, which they would term religious imperialism. So we have statements like number 10 of the Council of American Witches' Principles of Wiccan Belief. Our only animosity toward Christianity, or towards any other religion or philosophy of life, is to the extent that its institutions have claimed to be the only way and have sought to deny freedom to others and to suppress other ways of religious practice and belief.
I didn't claim it to be the only way. Jesus did. Here is what he says.
John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Those are Jesus' words, so I'm only reporting what he said. But as you can see, their core premise and basis to live their life on is supposedly accepting, from the heart, whatever anyone and everyone wants to do and believe. If you want to say your core principle is that, then why do your own words, not mine, speak animosity towards what I believe? It is hypocritical but also common in our world today, telling us we must tolerate everyone's choices, beliefs and lifestyle, but then not reciprocating that for me? If you really believe in complete tolerance, as you say you do, then why do you have animosity toward me? As a Christian, why can't you tolerate me believing what I want to believe? But those preaching tolerance in our society today do not even live up to their own request of us, and that includes witchcraft with this aspect of their supposed core belief of tolerance.
These beliefs stem from the notion that ultimately there is no right or wrong religion or morality. Relativism in all areas of life, including ethics and metaphysics, is the rule. Truth is what is true for you, right what is right for you, but neither are necessarily so for me. The only absolute is that there are no absolutes.
The moment you say there are no absolutes, you just made an absolute statement. You can't get away from it. In other studies, we've blown away this whole theory of no absolutes because it's not just hypocritical and those who push it don't even live it, but those who do, base their belief in this new relativistic definition of tolerance, which is a ridiculous principle. They say we each get to determine truth because there is no right and wrong, which means they cannot tell me something different than I tell them, and vice versa. Does that even work? What if I tell them my world says 2 plus 2 equals 5, and I do not care if they believe it is 4? From their heart they need to accept my math. Yet, even in our secular school system, if a child answers a test question that way, what grade would the child receive? It rhymes with F and they would get that every time. That answer is wrong. Would the relativists come back at that F and claim the teacher is a judgmental math bigot? You can see how ridiculous relativism is. What if we were relativistic with our science? Hey, on my next trip to speak somewhere I think I will just jump out of the plane without a parachute, because I feel like I am able to fly. You have heard the song, I Believe I Can Fly, right? Well, my experience with that song was so profound that my reality says I too can fly. But what would happen if I took that action based on that belief that I have from my experience? There is a scientific law that is absolute, and it is called gravity. I would find out real fast that my feeling from that experience was a lie. I can believe my own science all I want and even flap my arms, but the reality is that I would be road pizza. I can call doubters intolerant science bigots for not believing I can fly, but that does not lessen the outcome of me plummeting to the ground like a dart. So, a whole relativistic reality is ridiculous. Can you imagine if someone used relativistic math to build an airplane? Would you fly with them even for a cheap ticket? No. So, why would we trust that method for the more important spiritually eternal matters? Do you think it could suddenly start working for that when it's not trustworthy for anything else? When it comes to any moral matters, why would we think it should work all of a sudden? But I want to say this to Wiccans, as a practicing witch, A Wiccan, you don't follow your own supposed core beliefs because, according to your own definition of tolerance, moral relativism, you are bigoted toward me and all other Christians. So, Wiccans' core beliefs stem from their individual experience and so-called tolerance, with the latter resulting in moral relativism. All that develops into their ethics. And it's no surprise those ethics from their belief system do not include the concept of sin. Of course, they don't, because, in their world, there would be no sin. So, they just make that their false belief. Also, the reality they think they have made for themselves does not include evil. What? We will get into that in a minute.
Sin is viewed as an outdated concept that is only a tool used to shackle the minds and actions of people. The only sin or evil is that of being unbalanced and out of harmony or estranged from oneself, others, the varied life forms, and Mother Earth.
According to your definition of sin, which is not right, but I'll play your game to make a point, you are sinning when you are out of balance with my belief system and how you treat me because of it. So, since you have animosity for Christians like me, you are a sinner. And that is from your own definition, which you do not even live up to. Here is more on their claim that sin is being out of harmony with others, including Christians, and how there is supposedly no hell.
As there is no sin or divine retribution to be saved from, salvation has only to do with attaining and maintaining harmony with the above.
Again, you're not maintaining harmony because you won't accept my belief system. Also, when it comes to Wiccan ethics, though it's hard to codify because some branch or coven might say they don't follow any particular ethic, almost all of them rely on what's called the Wiccan Reed. Reed means advice, and it basically goes back to their claim of harming none while doing whatever they'd like. And in their Reed, they even invite a stinger on themselves by vowing to live a life where they only use their occult abilities in ways that will not harm anyone. Here is what they vow.
Any evil done to another will come back upon the perpetrator threefold or more, in some form of reincarnation.
So, they believe the harmful use of their witchcraft will mess up their supposed reincarnation afterlife, which the Bible does not teach. Contrary to reincarnation, Scripture says,
Hebrews 9:27. Just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment.
So, when we die, we go one of two places, heaven or hell, and we will not be coming back. So, we have one chance to get it right. Instead of that reality told to us by God, Wiccans follow the Hinduism belief that doing harm to others, witches do it through witchcraft, is going to mess up a witch's karma and make him or her have to keep coming back to fix their issue. They claim they do not use occult powers for evil because of this Wiccan reed, but is that really what they practice? This is another core area of their belief system where they are hypocritical, because they do use their occult so-called powers to influence, manipulate, and try to harm people. Those are not just my accusations, because their own words testify to that with their hexes and curses. What about those? How is that not harming anyone? Again, it is more hypocrisy when they won't even live up to their own belief system. Now, let me give you another example of Wiccans doing harm to people. And remember, this is on top of the fact that we've been told. Witches are putting so-called hexes on us here at Sunrise and Get a Life Media for doing this study, as well as what we saw earlier with the British witch on that television show who was demonstrating for anyone to replicate how to cast specific spells to make a man go away or do whatever she wants him to do. We also saw, more than once, how witches here in the United States of America are praying against our president. Again, how are any of those instances not harming anyone? As we saw in the history of witchcraft, it is all around the world, and today, witches are even networking together through the use of modern technology to hex politicians like President Trump and others, everywhere on the planet. Witches all over the earth are trying to influence the government everywhere, as this added video transcript example shows, with their efforts to cause physical harm to people.
A group of European witches hold hands and move in a circular motion inside a ring of fire. Head witch, Mihaila Minka, all politicians who are here under my spell will fall sick in their beds if they don't keep their word and banish corruption from this country. Amen. Narrator, Mihaila Minka claims to be the most powerful witch in Europe. Back in 2016, she made a political prediction that Romanian politics was going to burn. Soon after, the country exploded into some of the biggest protests since the fall of communism, with up to 500,000 people taking to the streets. Today, Romania is still facing challenges. Governmental corruption is the biggest. It's such a problem, in fact, that the nation's witches and wizards have had enough and are uniting to cast the most powerful spell to punish corrupt politicians. Witch follower of Minka, Mihaila is preparing the next stage of the spell and needs to borrow two goats from the house of the village's oldest enchanters. She also needs the help of the local wizards. Male wizard, put the goats in the middle. Minka, good. Male wizard, they are so cute. Minka, I've decided to have the blessing and support of three wizards. They will help and support me during this powerful ritual. They will protect me. Wizards walk goats around the streets and then Minka holds up an animal heart. Minka, here we have the heart of a beaten ox, the hair of a dead man, shells I was given by a wizard from America, Los Angeles, and black goats. We will use them, and the wizards will master them. Through these two animals we will summon the spirit of the devil. Let the animals be with power. Let us bring all the spirits. I will be supported by other wizards from the USA who will soon enter a direct transmission with us. On her smartphone, Minka visually connects to a wizard in the US. Witch assistant, hello, can you hear her? Minka addressing the US witch, are you ready for my ritual and to support us in our spells? Narrator, but why are witches getting involved in politics? And do Romanian politicians believe in witchcraft? We sent Stefania Matichi from Vice Romania to find out. Stefania Matichi interviewing Minka, does the curse work on people who do not believe? Minka, yes, of course. Stefania, God help us.
But don't worry, they say they are all about doing whatever they want as long as no one is harmed. They claim they do not use their powers to harm anyone, so let's just pay attention to that claim and not what they actually say and do, which is the opposite. How many examples do we have to give of them practicing hard while professing not to? Even if you want to characterize their so-called read as their ethics, they do not even follow that. Here is what one guy said.
The witch's ethical code is therefore inconsistent with their metaphysical worldview.
Turn to someone or your cat and say, that is the understatement of the year. Their read, advice, is seen in a few different forms.
And it harms none, do what thou wilt. And it harms none, do as thou wilt. That it harms none, do as thou wilt, and do what you will so long as it harms none.
And again, they violate every single one of those. Where does this Wiccan read come from? Well, it goes back to a familiar name. It just happens to be similar to Aleister Crowley's phrase, do what thou wilt, shall be the whole of the law, which also appears in literature from many other prominent witch icons of history like Murray, Gardner, and Balliente. And that is also the number one rule of Satanism, which is all about self. The idea started way back in Genesis 3 and it is a whole mandate for living, that is followed by Wiccans.
Whether witches realize it or not, these views raise some very problematic ethical issues.
Let's begin to analyze those problematic issues with Wiccan ethics where they claim they can just make it up as they go and no one has the right to tell them what to do, yet, they have a read that they say everyone should follow. Here are some of those issues.
Number 1. Where does the Wiccan read derive from? Number 2. If there is not one right religion, way, or truth for all, then why is this rule, the Wiccan read, universal? How do we know that witches are not just trying to impose their rule on us to shackle our minds and actions, with the ethical read they say you should live by? Number 3. How do witches account for the origin and existence of evil and suffering?
How do they work around their obvious hypocrisy? They do not live by their belief system with its supposed tolerance and the Wiccan read that they claim to follow. Instead, they use witchcraft for rotten things. But apparently that is somehow okay with them because they say there is no evil. All the destructive actions they take through their occult practices, that are meant to harm and manipulate others against their will, in theory, are not evil, according to them. Let us examine more of what this guy says.
Does evil exist? Is evil only an illusion? Or is evil not really evil, but just unfortunate circumstances? These views are delusions. To say evil does not exist is to be blind to reality, for evil not only exists, it is all around us. From cruelty, corruption, calamity, flood and famine, disease and drought, hatred, war, suffering, misery, pain, injustices, rape, murder, and on, evil exists. Evil is a fact of life.
In fact, when did evil take a foothold with each witch's life? It was right when he or she gave in to Satan's false claim that they can do whatever they want, even if it goes against their creator's directives for living. That initial lie from the father of lies is where all this started, and they have bought into it. People want to lament this earth with its tragic issues, but God didn't create this fallen world with its chaos. This messed up version is what happens when people listen to Satan, who was the initial rebel in Genesis 3. And that is what witches promote as their way of life. There is evil, and he goes on to say,
the existence of evil delivers a debilitating blow to the witch's worldview.
Moving on, Wiccan witchcraft has three pillars to their worldview, with the first being a belief in animism. Animism is the belief that everything has a so-called life force, along the line of the Star Wars movies, as we dealt with in our Buddhism study.
Animism is an important pillar of the witch's world. As used by them, the word means that the life force is immanent within all creation, rocks and trees, deserts and streams, mountains and valleys, ponds and oceans, gardens and forests, fish and fowl, from amoeba to humans and all things in between.
According to them, even chickens have this so-called life force, as do bacteria and amoebas, because animism is about all things supposedly being animated. Is it true? No. Let's take a look at what the Bible tells us about their idea of everything having a life force.
Romans 1:18-25. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people, who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, designed by the supreme designer, God, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen.
So, their belief in animism doesn't hold water because everything has been created by God and certainly not through some man-conceived idea of a mystical life force. And animism's supposed life force bleeds into their worldview's second pillar called pantheism. As we've seen before, pan means all and theism, or theos, is God. So, they claim all has life force because all is God. Really? They are trying to convince us that we should believe God is made of all things, including trees, fleas, bees, and you and me. But that does not make sense because Romans 1 just told us that everything came from God, not everything is God. And the created things we see should draw us to the knowledge that someone had to have designed it all. So, the designer, the creator, is who we should worship, not the things he made. That mistake of worshiping created things is what brings the wrath of God, and it is exactly what witchcraft prescribes. They bow to things as if they are God. But there is only one God, who brought everything into existence. Contrary to that reality, here is how Wiccans take it even further.
Divinity is inseparable from, and immanent in, nature and humanity. Since most witches teach that we are divine, or potentially so, it is clear why someone like Margot Adler, a witch herself, approvingly quotes a particular neo-pagan group's greeting to its female and male members respectively, "Thou art goddess, thou art god."
What does that sound like? We dealt with this same type of greeting in our study, Hinduism and the Dangers of Yoga. That Hindu greeting, which is even sneaking into churches, is one you are probably familiar with. It is namaste and means I bow to the god in you. As a Christian, you do not want to say that. But it is the mindset witches have. That core belief from Hinduism, which is also a pillar of witchcraft, holds no water. Both reality and common sense tell us that all is not God because there is only one God, who is supreme. Here is some proof of that.
Deuteronomy 4:35. You were shown these things so that you might know that the Lord is God, besides him there is no other. Deuteronomy 4:39. Acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. Deuteronomy 6:4-8. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Deuteronomy 13-15. Fear the Lord your God, serve him only and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you, for the Lord your God, who is among you, is a jealous God and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. 1 Kings 8:60. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no other. Isaiah 44:8. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? No, there is no other rock, I know not one. Isaiah 45:5. I am the Lord, and there is no other, apart from me there is no God.
So, witches and Hindus can live like they are God, but I don't recommend it because after their last breath, they will find out they have not been God. And neither is the tree that their casket will be made from. At that moment they will be standing before the one and only God, who they had a chance to freely get right with by his grace through Jesus Christ, yet, they said, no. At that point it will be too late. The third pillar of witchcraft is polytheism, which is the worship of multiple deities. Poly means many, as in politics, which means many ticks, blood-sucking creatures. Hey, that explains a lot. I have to give politicians a kick every time that word comes up. Polytheism is the belief in many gods. So, they embrace animism that claims everything has a life force and pantheism, which makes all things God, but then they take a contrary, illogical view with polytheism that breaks God down to certain individual entities that they individually worship. How does that even make sense if they think they, and everything else, is God? In fact, they even greet each other as goddesses and gods. So, why would they even worship something outside of themselves, let alone pick out specific entities to worship as though those entities are special, being above all the rest of creation that is supposedly equal to God? Hinduism believes there are a huge number of gods and goddesses who deserve their worship, and that is why they feel they can merge with other religions that also worship a multitude of gods and goddesses. Again, with Wicca witchcraft it is hard to codify all of Wicca, but mainly their polytheism is the worship of two deities, which is a dual theism. Now, the moment I say that, a coven can pop up to counter that by saying they worship a bunch more than that. But typically, Wiccans worship two, which are the mother goddess and the male horned god. Some say that the horned god must be Satan, but that is not necessarily true. I will say that we have seen Satan worship several times in this study, including the witches in that last video transcript. What was that head witch, Minka, saying? She was invoking the spirit of the devil. And as we saw with Alex Sanders in his documentary, he too was worshiping Lucifer. Wiccans will claim they have nothing to do with Satan, or at least that they are not practicing Satanism. Well, I will give them that, they may not be practicing Satanism, but they are working with and invoking, some openly, the entity called the devil and Lucifer. And by the way, who is the father of all lies, including the lie of witchcraft? It is Satan. So, either way they can't escape who they fall under. But typically, they will say we Christians are dum-dums for claiming the horned god is Satan. There is an element of truth to the horned god being a different entity. It's not necessarily Satan, but Wiccans still work with Satan. In this video transcript, I'm going to let witches themselves break down the differences, though this worship of two different entities is all the same demonic practice.
Title: The Wiccan God and Goddess. Wiccans evoke deities from a variety of polytheistic religious traditions. The two most common deities are the horned god and the mother goddess, who are worshipped in their balance to one another. Neither is held greater than the other, as both aspects are needed for the continuation of life. The horned god is also called the green man or the sun god, as each Wiccan practitioner relates to the masculine energy in a different way. The mother goddess is a three-part fertility goddess consisting of the maiden, the mother, and the crone. The god and goddess can manifest themselves in many sacred forms. In Gardnerian circles, gods and goddesses are not specifically named, but rather referred to as the Lord or Lady or Mother Goddess and Horned God. However, many Wiccans forego the generic terms and align their rituals or spell work with specific deities from various pantheons. In either case, connecting with the feminine and masculine through the representation of a deity is an essential component in Wiccan rituals as it honors each aspect of the goddess and god's nature through the cycles of the seasons. The Horned God, historically, gods with horns generally related to the primal nature of man. The Horned God represents the masculine portion of nature, the wild beast that is unencumbered by society's regulations. Residing in the forests just outside of the realm of human civilization, the Horned God lived by his instincts in a fully natural state of being. He relied solely on the forest and his own skills to provide food and shelter. Being in tune with the forest meant understanding the duality of the hunt. He is both the hunter or life-taker and the hunted or life-giver, which completes his cycle within the cycles of nature. The Wiccan god is also referred to as the Green Man. The Green Man is a variation on the Horned God, as he too lives in the forest and dwells with the animals. He is the quintessential spirit of vegetation. He is the ruler of the green flora and the growing fauna. He is the field, the forest, and the animals, all bound together in harmony. The Green Man is a god who dies and is reborn through the turning of the wheel of the year. At harvest he dies as the crop is gathered in the fields. He is buried again as the seed. He lives again as the new shoot of life that springs forth from the fields. He grows and matures through the earth, which is the womb of the great goddess, and the cycle continues as the harvest comes again. The Mother Goddess, Wicca's primary emphasis is on feminine energy and power. This aspect is one of the most distinctive features in a predominantly patriarchal world. There are three aspects of the goddess, which relate to the phases of the moon. The goddess is believed to be so ancient that humans cannot remember all the names she has been given. Throughout time, she has lived as both the one and the many, taking on multiple forms for the people who have worshipped her. In all her forms, she is the bringer of life. While the specific nature of the goddess can be debated, Wiccans do agree that she is comprised of three parts: the maiden, the mother, and the crone. The maiden encompasses the stage in life where women are full of promise. New beginning and youthfulness abound. Enchantment about life, innocence, and beauty surround the maiden. She learns to become independent and she has unlimited possibilities before her. The maiden is most often worshipped during the spring infertility rituals. The mother is an experienced lover who has gained maturity through her understanding of the world. She is often depicted as a parent but does not have to have given birth. She represents selflessly giving to others, nurturing energy, and fierce protectiveness of her creations. The mother is associated with the domestic aspects of women through children, family, and the home. She is also strongly connected to sexuality and the moon. As the moon grows full, so does the mother with child. The mother is most often worshipped in the summer, as is the time of her pregnancy through the winter when she gives birth. It is through this process of birth, literally and figuratively, that new life and ideas come forth into the world. The crone, as the goddess moves into old age, she becomes the crone. The crone has gained an immense amount of knowledge from a lifetime of learning. She has transformed and become strong through many trials and tribulations in life. The crone is a respected elder who is able to guide others through transitions in their lives and provide wisdom and understanding to those who come after her. She represents the darker side of womanhood, the fears and destruction of life. But she is not referred to as sinister, for the crone is the last phase before the cycle begins again, the ever-turning cycle of birth, maturity, and death. The experience with the god and or goddess is a deeply personal endeavor. It is subjective and requires further investigation and exploration to find the path that fits for your own personal practice.
In other words, make it up as you go and hear some generalities you can buy into, as well as add anything else you would like. Relativism is basically what is going on there. Again, most Wiccans follow these two prominent deities of theirs, the Mother Goddess and the Male Horn God. The Mother Goddess has a bunch of different names.
She is invoked by a variety of names: Aphrodite, Artemis, Astaroth, Astarte, Athene, Brigit, Ceres, Caridwen, Cybele, Diana, Demeter, Frigga, Gaia, Hecate, Isis, Kali, Kor, Lilith, Luna, Persephone, Venus, and more.
If you were able to see that video, you'd have noticed a rabbit, which has to do with Astarte, the goddess we get Easter from. And you may know about the Old Testament reference to Asherah poles. That was the same female and male fertility worship that was meant to supposedly get the cycle of nature going for a good harvest. So, again, Wicca is nothing new. These pagan Asherah poles were what Israel was buying into through practices from the Canaanites with their different pagan religions which were practiced on the hills surrounding Israel. God spanked them for it, and eventually the Israelites even lost their nation over those kinds of occult practices. Here is more about the Asherah pole, and it is about the same pagan goddess that Wiccans worship today.
An Asherah pole was a sacred tree or pole that stood near Canaanite religious locations to honor the pagan goddess Asherah, also known as Astarte. In the Bible, Asherah poles were first mentioned in Exodus 34:13. God had just remade the Ten Commandment tablets, and Moses had requested God graciously to forgive the Israelites for worshiping the golden calf. Verse 10 begins the covenant God made: if the Israelites obey him, he will drive out the tribes living in Canaan. But they must cut down the Asherah poles. Deuteronomy 7:5 and 12-3 repeat the command nearly verbatim, while Deuteronomy 16:21 commands the Israelites not set up any wooden Asherah poles of their own.
So, they had already gotten spanked by God because they were worshipping the golden calf shortly after God freed them from slavery in Egypt, a place flooded with witchcraft. In fact, when Moses saw what they were doing, he was mad enough that he smashed God's first set of Ten Commandments. And then, when God banished them to wander the wilderness because of that cow issue, they started right back into more witchcraft practices with things like the Asherah poles. God let them know he was going to eventually let the Israelites get into their promised land, but that they were not to practice this Asherah-type female goddess worship. What happened then?
Two books later, in Judges 3:7, the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asheroth.
Today, Wicca witchcraft practices the same occult methods and beliefs that got Israel into sin, trouble and judgment from God. Wicca is the same old female and male false god worship that is all about fertility. Now, let's look more at their male horned god.
He too is called and invoked by many names, including Adonis, Amun-Ra, Egyptian version, Apollo, Baphomet, Cernunnos, Dionysius, Eros, Faunus, Hades, Horus, Nui, Lucifer, Odin, Osiris, Pan, Thor, and Woden.
In some of our studies, we have seen pictures of the Baphomet being put up in our city, state, and federal buildings. Also, notice the Marvel superhero names mentioned toward the end of that list. Again, different witchcraft traditions emphasize the male or female part more, and some even balance the importance of both. But those are the big two in Wicca. Now, before we continue on, very quickly, I want to give you the first part of Deuteronomy 12, that predicted long ago how this occult stuff would even be coming into the church, as it is today. So far, the beliefs we have seen from Wicca are based on what? It is basically, do whatever you want to do. But is that a good way to live? Is that something God is going to bless? No. Let's look back at the Old Testament times with passages where Israel got in trouble when they did their own thing, inviting the judgment of God.
Deuteronomy 12:1-8. These are the decrees and laws you must be careful to follow in the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given you to possess, as long as you live in the land. Destroy completely all the places on the high mountains, on the hills and under every spreading tree, where the nations you are dispossessing worship their gods.
Again, a lot of that was the Asherah stuff God told them to get rid of. Here is more.
Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones and burn their Asherah poles in the fire, cut down the idols of their gods and wipe out their names from those places. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way. But you are to seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among all your tribes to put his name there for his dwelling. To that place you must go, there bring your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts, what you have vowed to give and your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. There, when you do it God's way, in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your families shall eat and shall rejoice in everything you have put your hand to. You are going to be blessed and prosper, because the Lord your God has blessed you. You are not to do as we do here today, everyone doing as they see fit. Other translations say, everyone doing what is right in his own eyes, since you have not yet reached the resting place and the inheritance the Lord your God is giving you.
That is relativism, which is not only the premise of witchcraft, but also the mindset that our whole society operates on today. And according to God's word, is going to lead to a terrible life. Now, to finish up this chapter, I want to give you an idea of how much the church has been overtaken by these occult practices. Do you wonder why our society is in such an apostate condition today? It is because this relativistic mindset has now even crept into the church. We're making the same mistake Israel did, pursuing whatever we want to do. We are not following what God says in the Bible, but, instead, even we Christians are following whatever we want to be true. Let me share this with you. A recent survey reveals that many Christians are deeply confused about biblical theology.
The results show a confused collection of beliefs held by American Christians, and especially evangelicals.
This isn't talking about apostate faiths in the church. Evangelicals are supposed to be, if you will, the cream of the crop, biblically. We are supposed to be the ones who have the best chance at remaining true to God's word in the Bible. Again, this is a recent survey.
High percentages of respondents again revealed clearly heretical beliefs when they were asked about the nature of God and belief, their opinions on certain sins, and the role of the Bible. 52% responded that most people are basically good.
That's from evangelicals. Hey, if you rely on yourself being good as your way to get to heaven on your own, you are not headed there. How do you get around this?
Romans 3. There is no one good, no, not one.
Folks, these are evangelicals, and over half the church claims people are basically good. That is scary. What are they trusting in? Are they even saved? Here's more.
51% believe that God accepts the worship of all religions.
That is from a recent survey. Alarmingly, that percentage used to be 25%, and I know because I have been quoting the statistic for years. Now, it has doubled. If you really believe God accepts worship from all religions, you are not a Christian because there's an absolute truth in the Bible that says Jesus is the only way. We just quoted it. And this is in the church. This next part talks about the Christians believing in animism with its so-called life force and everything.
A majority of 59% stated that the Holy Spirit is a force, not a personal being, and the most shocking of all, the survey showed that 62% of American Christians surveyed believe that religious belief is a matter of personal opinion and not of objective truth.
Then why do we even have the Bible? Think about that. This is the evangelical church, and of course the unbiblical teachings spill downhill to the rest of society.
Only 52% of Christians identified abortion as a sin.
That means 48% of evangelicals say abortion is perfectly fine. And we're not even talking about those kinds of false teachings in the apostate part of the church. These are the so-called evangelicals.
Likewise, 41% of Christians interviewed believe that the Bible's condemnation of homosexuality does not apply today.
That statistic used to be 33%, so it too is going through the roof. Can I tell you why? Few in the church will touch the subject of homosexuality, even with a 10-foot pole. Sunday schools and preachers stay away from it. On top of that, people do not read their Bible. And even if they do, when they come across a passage warning against homosexuality, they discount it with a statement like, "Well, I know that's what it says, but what I believe is that God is a God of love and He won't hurt them." But that is just more relativism. You might as well be practicing Hinduism or witchcraft. One guy says this.
How much of this heretical belief is the result of poor education in Christian theology, what is taught from the pulpit with Christians not being discipled, and how much indicates the influence of external cultural factors that are slowly warping what millions of Christians across the country believe?
Those cultural influences are creating a moral relativism, and the combination of that with preachers getting away from what Jesus demanded as He left the earth, "Go and make discipled learners of all nations," is why we're in such a big slide toward false teachings. So, we have just seen that half of the evangelical church is living with witchcraft beliefs. They are tolerating everything, believing whatever they would like, and going against God's demand that we not just do whatever seems right in our own eyes, especially if it goes against the Bible. But this is the status of today's church. On top of that, there is a large chunk of the church that is all about experience and mysticism. And today we wonder why the church is full-on merging with witchcraft. It is crazy. Let me give you two examples from Bethel Church in Redding, California. This demonstrates how parts of the church are actually merging with witchcraft. This first video transcript shows how they supposedly fixed racism, and it does not include the obvious remedy, which would be preaching the Bible and having a Bible study.
Man drinking coffee and searching for church services online through his laptop, he finds Bethel's service. Well, let's see what's streaming today. Seven people on stage at Bethel with a man in the middle speaking to a costumed woman with them. Apostles have authority to make decrees and declaration.
So, why don't you share your vision and then we'll do the apostolic decree? He passes the microphone to a woman wearing a long robe and holding a tall wooden staff.
She is dressed like Gandalf from the Lord of the Rings movie.
Wizard-dressed woman, okay, so I am an artist.
Man watching online, is she dressed like a wizard? Wizard-dressed woman, one of the movies that has really touched my heart is Lord of the Rings. Man watching online, she's for real dressed like a wizard. Wizard-dressed woman, if you know Lord of the Rings, everybody understands what's in my hand, the large wooden staff. Man watching online, what is happening?
The wizard-dressed woman demonstrates how Gandalf lifted the staff toward the Balrog monster, on the underground stone bridge in the caverns, as Gandalf spreads his arms wide in defiance of the Balrog, just before he is about to pound the end of the stick down on the stone bridge to release his spell that holds back the Balrog.
Wizard-dressed woman, just opening his arms, opening his arms. Man watching online, is this lady drunk? Wizard-dressed woman, and I heard myself speak, why he, maybe speaking of God? Asked me to do that? Normally it would only be scriptures. Man watching online, am I drunk? Wizard-dressed woman, but the Lord told me I needed to repent for the participation I had with the racist spirit.
Man watching online, oh, I think the spirit has done left this, Wizard-dressed woman talking to the others, so I'm gonna ask us right now to all grab a hold of this staff in my hand. Man watching online, please don't do what I think you're about to do. Wizard-dressed woman with the other six all have a hand on the large staff, we are going to lift the staff, and we will command the spirit, not only to leave. Man watching online interrupts as he's yelling to his wife, Rebecca, did you put LSD in my coffee again?
Wizard-dressed woman, no more. No more. No more.
Man in the middle takes back the microphone, well, two things, I think it's important for you to share the vision of Gandalf, putting the stake, staff, down because that. The others on stage say, yeah, 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 in agreement.
Wizard-dressed woman, yes, oh, okay.
Man watching online, oh, I've been to PTA meetings that were less awkward than that.
Man in the middle on stage, we decree and declare that racism will end. It's over in the ecclesia from this night forward.
Man watching online chuckles and says, oh, Gandalf. Man in the middle on stage, come on, let's lift it up and bang it. The seven people with a hand on the staff, lift it up and bang it on the floor like Gandalf did in the movie.
Man in the middle on stage, hallelujah. Come on, give it up, praise over.
Man watching online, Gandalf, what you doing? Wizard-dressed woman tells the audience to repeat what Gandalf said in the movie when he banged the staff in front of the giant Balrog monster, as those on stage lift and slam the staff on the floor one more time, repeat with us, thou shall not pass. Man watching online, congratulations, guys.
You fixed it.
All those racist groups are just running for their lives.
They heard about your little staff deal, and they just said, you know what? We're done.
How is that any different from our earlier video transcript with the head witch, Minka, and her wizard friends, who were gathered together in their ritual garb with ritual equipment and throwing out spells to attempt to effect change? This was the same thing, and they want us to believe it is a way to fix racism. Do we really do that with wizardry? And we are to believe that God gave her a vision while she watched that movie, which is full of sorcery and witchcraft? How could these people be dwelling in those kinds of false teachings? And what else did she give us as a clue to her flawed thinking? She said she normally relies on scripture, but this was from her experience. So, she is relying on what she felt at that time and also what she now feels is right. It is merging personal experience and the feeling gained from it to modify biblical teaching. As if that isn't bad enough, Bethel Church is the same entity that has been using something like a sort of Christian tarot cards which are supposedly meant to function as an outreach, as if that somehow makes it okay. They call them destiny reading cards and set up booths that purposely resemble those used by psychics. They even call the process the same as the psychic practice of readings. The program Bethel put together is called, Christ alignment and claims to allow their parishioners to empower their own destinies instead of someone controlling them. That is obviously from the idea that no one should tell another what to do, not even God. They use these psychic booths to perform readings about relations, jobs, and issues to help people make better decisions in the future. How about reading the Bible? God will tell you what to do for a better life and future. Instead, they are running with a Christianized version of occult witchcraft's tarot cards. Here is that video transcript.
A beautiful woman, Ali, with an Australian accent sits at Bethel's Christ Alignment booth and greets Daryl, who has come to her for a reading. Ali, hi, I'm Ali. What's your name?
Daryl.
Ali, hi Daryl, welcome to Christ Alignment. Anyone that does a reading hears from the spirit realm, which exists outside of time and space. We are hearing from the Christ Spirit. Therefore it's possible for us to hear about your past, your present, and your future. However, we don't like doing future predictions because it confines you to time, spaces, and events that you've got little control over or choice over. It locks you into things. So, we are hearing from a higher realm that wants to empower your destiny, not control it. So, does that make sense?
Daryl, yup.
Ali, awesome. So, it's our goal to empower you from this third heaven realm. And what I have here are the destiny reading cards, and they're going to reveal to you the gifting that you've been born with. And the gifting affects your relationships and your jobs, and it will also address issues in your life, which will empower you to make better choices in the future. Now, did you come with a question or a problem that you'd like a resolution to today?
Daryl, maybe.
Ali, yeah, well, the cards can address that problem as well. And then at the end of that, we're going to an encounter where you can get the answer for yourself.
Daryl, sounds good.
Ali, okay, great.
The way that it will work is that I'll get you to place the cards in order of the most important at the top near me and then you put them down to the least important like that.
But hey, don't bother sharing the gospel with Daryl or quote Bible verses to him. Instead, let's consult the higher realm with so-called Christian tarot cards. This is what is going on in the church today with Christian practices being reduced to that in some parts of the church. Why is that? It's because churches say they follow the Bible, but scripture seems to only be around them for appearance, while they focus on people's individual experiences that result in unbiblical beliefs. And they emphasize whatever each person thinks the Bible should say, according to his or her desires. The church is basically telling folks to do whatever they feel is right in their own eyes, and it helps us understand how they can get to the stage where they are full-on merging with witchcraft. It's because their premise is a witchcraft belief. It is a perfect marriage and, unfortunately, it's even infecting the church.
Wicca is attractive for many people who do not desire or appreciate absolute truths. In Wicca, a person is free to discover his or her own path. In other words, he or she is free to invent a religious system that suits his or her desires.
Again, what does that sound like? It is Genesis 3 as a lifestyle. Here is what Wicca says, and listen to how many times it is all about the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I.
If you are just beginning a study of paganism, you may need to evaluate many different traditions or paths before finding the one for which you are looking. Your chosen path in the old religion must be one that is uniquely suited to you as an individual and one that lets you speak to the Lord and Lady in your own fashion.
Here's what one guy says about that.
In other words, you are free to invent, devise, and develop a religion that suits your personal wants and interests.
Again, what are they telling their Wiccan followers? They are suggesting that people do not need to listen to God, their creator, and they don't have to follow the Bible, which recorded God's messages to us. Instead, they advocate Satan's way with his rebellion against God. In fact, they can actually be God and just decide right and wrong for themselves. That's not only the premise of witchcraft, but it's now being promoted in the church. Here is more evaluation of Wicca's prescribed practices.
Furthermore, in Wicca you may attempt to manipulate your surroundings and other individuals through spells and incantations. This combination of developing a religion that suits your personal preferences and trying to influence others to do what you want them to do is very appealing to a lot of people, our selfish, self-centered society today.
And we wonder why it's so popular. They are telling people they can be in control of their own manufactured false reality. Those who go to the charismatic extreme will get an experience just like Wicca witchcraft gives people because of the merger in some core beliefs and practices of the two. But it is not from God and not blessed by God. Because of that, what is it going to lead to? Those people are in for some serious bondage. And they will not turn around from being led further and further down that dark path until, on stage, they are doing things like acting out and Christianizing a vision that one of them had while watching Gandalf wield his wizard, witchcraft staff. Or maybe it will go so far as substituting a witness for Christ with a psychic booth where a reader is flipping through occult tarot cards, like that is going to help. What people need is for us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. In doing so, instantly the power of the gospel is available to save anyone, just as it did with this girl.
Rick Gardner, my brother and sister had to go and take all the guns from the house and hide them just to keep me safe. I was at a really serious stage. I planned on how I was going to do it. Narrator, Brooke Gardner was only 11 when persistent feelings of hopelessness put her on the verge of suicide. Her parents took her to a psychiatrist who prescribed medication, but it did little to alleviate her despair. Brooke, really it just numbed me and made me, I didn't have any thoughts or feelings anymore. I kind of just walked around like a zombie. Narrator, after a year, she searched for other ways to cope with her depression. Brooke, I had started looking online about spells and about Wicca and went and bought some spell books. I started doing these spells in my room. I was burning lots of sage and, you know, I thought they were positive spells, and they were going to help my depression. I thought that by controlling the environment that I could control my feelings. Narrator, performing the spells also gave her a sense of power. Brooke, I just wanted to connect to something more powerful. You want to be bigger and better than a lot of the people around you. You know, everyone better stay away from me or you're gonna get it. Narrator, but one night, Brooke discovered the magic she thought was helping her, had invited an unexpected presence into her life. Brooke, I was sleeping and beside me was this dark figure and it was touching the bed, like right beside me. I do not know what it was doing or why it had one of its hands on me. And I woke up and I still felt something with its hand on me. At that moment, I couldn't even scream or make a noise. I was so scared that whatever this was still in the room. You know, after a while, it went away. Narrator, despite her fear, Brooke continued practicing witchcraft and her condition only got worse. Brooke, I didn't feel more powerful. Actually, really more so, I felt powerless. And I felt like a failure. It didn't make me feel any better than what I had felt. It just got me deeper and deeper into depression. Narrator, Brooke lived with a debilitating depression for 3 years, going on and off various medications. But what remained was her need to have meaning and control in her life. And while she kept casting spells, she also started reading her father's dusty King James Bible, hoping she might find some answers there. Brooke, I read in the book of Leviticus how God is not pleased with people who practice witchcraft and practice that kind of thing. So, that's what really gripped me, really believing all my life that it was okay to do those things. So, after that, I took all my witchcraft books, everything that I had, that had to do with it, and I threw them all in the trash and just turned away from all those things. I asked Christ to come into my life. It just kind of opened my eyes to this whole other place of what I really desired and wanted inside. It was something I had never experienced in my life. It was, she tears up, for once in my life, all the sin that I had in my heart, all the stuff that I've ever done, was forgiven. It was just a complete change. I would look at a flower and be like, wow, like, I can't believe God created this flower. I felt a complete release and just a huge weight taken off of me. And I knew that I was right with God. Narrator, she found a church and started attending. Soon, her family started going with her and one by one gave their lives to Christ. Brooke, that was just an amazing experience to see your parents, for the first time, just have a joy that I've never seen before, you know. And pretty much everybody in my family has received Christ and is serving Him today.
And how did that happen? Was it because her church had a skit involving the Lord of the Rings with a Gandalf character pounding his or her staff on stage as they yelled at that bad old depression to go away? Is that what provided her breakthrough? No. You've got to be kidding me. Or maybe she was delivered by church folk flipping Christianized tarot cards out at her. Actually, that's not what happened either. Instead, It was probably when someone told her she could believe whatever she wanted because her truth is just fine for her and ours is good for us. Maybe it was letting her know life is all about making up our own realities, which is the way she then got free. Was that the key to pull her out of a suicidal depression? No. God's word convicted her of her sin, including the sin of witchcraft, and then she heard the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what got her out of bondage. And that is what every one of us Christians need to focus on today and every day.